Jesus, he has delivered me from all fear. Amen. Oh, he has set my feet upon a rock. Oh, and I will not be tonight, your healing, your family. Oh, say, I'll take it and believe from these lips, and from these lips I speak. again, He's the name, and You're the name above all names. Can we stand and sing it to Him now? You're worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great.
Hall this evening. He has COVID and is sick. So we remember him in prayer also. I'm sure there's several others that have turned in requests out this evening that are not feeling well. I know that, amen, they need a touch in their bodies as well. Also, we have an update and a prayer request from Sister Alex and Brother Josh regarding their daughter Charlie. She's doing great, holding her temperature well, breathing and heart are doing well. She still needs to gain some weight. She was born, you know, prematurely, several weeks early, and needs to get some more weight on her. Also, she has a feeding tube to help with that. They say she's getting better every day. They're able to stay close to the hospital. They want to thank everyone for your prayers and support and all that you've done as a church family. I ask that you continue to remember her in prayer in that situation. If you have a need, you want to lift to the Lord and say, Lord, I know that no matter what this burden is on my heart tonight, I know that with you I can make it. Amen. Let's go to him together in prayer. Father, we love you so much. Lord, you're so wonderful to us. And we want to just take a moment, Father, to tell you how much we love you. Lord, to tell you how great you are. And Lord, you give the breath that we breathe, the life that we have, Father. Lord, you knew us from before we were formed. Lord, we know that you have every part of our lives under your control. And Lord, we just ask that you'll come down and you'll move in this service tonight as we've seen you do so many times before. Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing to come down. And Lord, that you'll move on the songs that are sung, Lord. And the different ones, Lord, that have a need, as they lift it to you, Father, and lift their praise to you, Lord, that you'll return it seven times, Lord. That you'll be with those that are praying for wayward loved ones, Lord. Praying for healing in their body, job situations, family needs, Lord. Lord, you know each one of them, and I ask that you'll move tonight, Lord. Be with these that are sick in the congregation, Lord. COVID, and Lord, stomach troubles, different sicknesses in body, Lord. Those that are down in their back and their feet, Lord. You see the need, the situation, Lord. And we turn to you because you're a great and you're a mighty God. Lord, and we bring each one to you, and we thank you already for what you've done for them, Lord. Lord, and for the healing that's manifesting already tonight, Lord, in their bodies. Lord, we thank you for touching this little baby tonight and strengthening this family, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the miraculous that you've done. Lord, we thank you for touching those, Lord, that are seeking a child, Lord. Lord, those that are seeking you more in their personal life, Lord, that say they want to be drawn near to you tonight. We thank you, Father. Lord, that there's a burning desire in us, and we know there's more of you. We give ourselves to you. We ask you'll bless each part of the service. Be with Brother Timothy as he ministers your, Lord, use him in a supernatural way, we pray. Be with the tithes, the offering, Lord, each part we ask. It's in your precious name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The brothers can take up the offering. Amen. QFC. Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me and set my soul on fire. Oh, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Oh, desire. Yes, make me like the Christ that lives. Oh, healing and raising the dead. Oh, and give me the power that Jesus had. The blood. Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Let's sing it again now. Say, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me and set my soul on fire. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost and gospel. Oh, just make me like the Christ that lives. Oh, healing and raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus had. Oh, make me like the Christ that lived. Oh, healing and raising the dead. And give me the power. Oh, through the blood that was shed. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show His power and might. And that's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer our everything. And that's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause He gave His everything. Oh, He gave. Say, that's why we praise Him. Oh, that's why we praise Him.
worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. Oh, He gave His everything. Oh, He came to live. Oh, live again in. He came to be our conquering King. Oh, He came to and show the lost ones His love. He came to go. Oh, prepare a place for us. And that's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause He gave His everything. Oh, He gave His everything.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And my life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord, in You. It's in You. My life is in You, Lord, my strength. Oh, my hope is in You, in You. Sing it again. Yes, my life is in You, Lord, my strength. And my hope is in You, Lord, in You. It's in You. I'll praise You with all of my life, and I'll praise You with all of my strength. Oh, with all of my life, with all of my strength, and all of my hope is in You. Oh, my life is in You, Lord, my strength. And my hope is in You, Lord, in You. It's in You. My life is in You, Lord. rescues me. My faith is strong and he carries me. Though sometimes weak, I still believe. Life is built on this desire, through the flood and through the fire. Oh, Jesus rescues me. Amen. Let's all stand and sing it. Searching for hope to hold. These empty hands will leave you waiting and praying for a miracle. Oh, Jesus hears your every cry. The mountains you can't climb, and he will heal your hurting soul and lead you safely to his home. When every mountain seems to when Jesus rescues me, my faith is strong and it carries me. Though sometimes weak, I still believe. Life is built on this desire, through the flood and through the fire. Oh, Jesus. Oh, when every mountain, sing it now. When every mountain seems too high, when every river looks too wide, and when my ship is lost at sea, oh, Jesus rescues me. Faith is strong and he carries me. Though sometimes weak, I still believe. My life is built on this desire, through the flood and through the fire. Jesus rescues me.
Amen. Amen. How many remembers that moment when rescued you, reached out into the fire, whether you were sinking in the ocean of sin or whatever, that hand that reached down way further than you could ever go. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Let's just pray to him. Father, just come to you tonight, Lord, once again, just asking that you would help us, Lord, as we would take these thoughts, you'd speak to our hearts, and you'd help us, Lord, to walk through the scriptures and through your word, Lord. And Lord, that you would just anoint the things that need to be said, Father. And Lord, may our minds and hearts be on you, Father. Forgive us, Lord, where we may have done wrong or done something, Lord, not pleasing to you, Lord. Wash us with the water of the word and your blood, Father. Fill every fiber of our lives, we pray, Father, with your presence. We give this service to you, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Amen. It says, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would go further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Amen. You can be seated for a moment. I'd like to also read Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22 through 28. It says, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered, said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from under the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'd like to speak this evening on faith through disappointment. I know we all have faced disappointments in our lives, and we know disappointments can come in many ways. And you know, this disappointment means a sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of your hope or expectation. You know, disappointments can come from, of course, personal failures where you feel like you failed in life or failed in certain ventures or failed in a certain thing on a day and be disappointed in how you performed. Or you can actually be, of course, disappointed not just with yourself but also with the actions of others. Or you can even be disappointed in God because you find yourself or what you thought or what might be becoming short of what you had in mind or what you had planned. And it's a perceived shortcoming of God's plan. But when things don't turn out like we thought it would, we get disappointed. And you know, we all have those things in our life. We've all faced those moments in our lives. And it's not that we're never, of course, ever going to have other disappointments if time tarries. You may face that in the next hour or the next day or the next week. But it's what you do when you become disappointed. It's how you react when you become disappointed. And we read the scripture of this woman, this little Greek woman that came to Jesus. And, you know, she had heard of him. She had heard of his healing. She had heard of his deliverances and the miracles that had taken place around his ministry. And, of course, she had a need, as we read in the scripture. She had a daughter that that was grievously vexed of a devil. But she had heard that there was somebody that could maybe help her. And she heard these words of the miracles that had taken place. And she thought, well, if God could do that for those, and he could do it for me. And she believed it. And she, even though she had many hindrances, you know, her faith just didn't seem to have hindrances. She would stay very steady in her walk toward the Lord. And we could look at her as she would come towards him. And maybe somebody would say, well, you're not from that race, or, you know, why are you going there? You're a Greek. You know, he's a Jew. You know, it's not coming from your church or from your place or where you're at. But, you know, she was a human being. She had been created by God, and she had a need. And she had faith that she was going to get what she had need of. And no matter what disappointment she may face or not, no matter what would happen, amen, she started out in faith and she ended in faith. And I want that to be said about me, amen, that I not just started out in faith, but I ended in faith. Amen, that God could find faith in my life. And, you know, and she'd meet critics along the way and people that would no doubt say things to her like, you know, that, well, that he used to do that then, but he doesn't do that now. You know, days of miracles are past. Or, you know, he does that just for the Jews, and you're a Gentile, you know. But she was persistent. She was perseverant. There was something in her, no matter what anybody said around her, no matter what somebody else's testimony was, her testimony was, I'm going to get to Jesus, and Jesus is going to heal my girl. And so first thing, you know, she had something inside of her that told her she was going to get what she was going to ask for. And it didn't matter what happened, as we read. I mean, it's quite an amazing story, because here she come, you know, to Jesus, and she gets right up to him. And after all of the problems and all of the situations and all the struggling and all the naysaying and all the doubting and all the things that she had heard before she even got there, she gets to him, and then the real trial really begins. Amen. She gets to him, and he don't even speak to her. He don't even acknowledge her. He don't even look her way, you know. And she cries out even more, and the disciples are saying, why don't you just send her away? You know, she's just in the way here, what we're trying to do. Why don't you just send her away? And he says, you know, I wasn't even sent to her house. I wasn't even sent to her race. That's not who I was sent for. And she hears these words, and all these things begin to come. You're talking about a lot of disappointments that could have arose in her life. And she could have just walked away and said, well, you know, I thought he loved people. I thought he cared for people, but I guess he doesn't care about me. But that wasn't her attitude. She looked past all of those disappointments. She looked past all of those things that had rose up around her. And he said, you know, I'm not even sent to you, race of dogs. Could you imagine what we would do or how we would react if Jesus, we would come to him and he would call us a dog? Come on, somebody. You know, we get our feelings hurt and our nose up, bent out of shape when the pastor says something we don't agree with, right? Amen. But listen, this woman had was called a dog. That's one of the lowest things you can call somebody. Amen. A dog that would just, you know, a dog is not a very clean animal. It'll eat its own dung. It'll eat its own vomit. It'll wallow around in all kinds of stuff. And he called her one of the lowest names that could be called. And you know, she could have got disappointed. She could have pulled back. She could have said, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm just going to go seek help somewhere else. But no, there was something on the inside of her that said she was going to get what she asked for. No matter what was said, no matter what was going on, what a disappointment that would have been to a woman who didn't have that kind of faith, who wasn't determined. Amen. And I believe that's the way we ought to be in this walk with God. We ought to be determined. Amen. Determined. If the preacher burns my hide, I'm still determined. If things don't go the way I think they ought to go, I'm still determined. Amen. If everything turns against me and people call me all kinds of names, I'm still determined. I'm determined, amen, because I've got something in my heart and I'm going to get the request that I have. Amen. Maybe your request is not for a daughter that's grievously vexed, but I tell you what my request is. My request is for a body change. My request is for a resurrection. My request is for getting out of this old world and leaving. And I want a determination that no matter what goes on around me, or what happens in the church, or what goes right in the church, or what goes wrong in the church, I want to be determined that I'm going to meet my expectation of a body change. And so here she is, and she could have turned around many times. You know what? Brother Branham looked at her and said, you know what the deal was? She held on because she wasn't a hothouse plant. Amen. She didn't have to be babied around. One of these kinds, you know, you have to spray over to keep the bugs off of it. A good, healthy plant, you don't have to do that. A bug won't be able to get it if it's full of health. But that's kind of like a good born-again faith of in God, a real, genuine Holy Ghost faith. Nothing is going to run it off. Nothing is going to turn it around. It can't be done. It's persistence. It's going to the goal that God has promised it. Nothing is going to turn it down. It's going anyhow. She wasn't a hybrid. She had got a hold of something. Amen. You know, I may have told this here before, but it's a good to put it right in here. I met a brother Giovanni, that lives in New York. And I met him up in Canada at a meeting, and I was speaking to him just personally on some things, and he was just telling me of his testimony. And he said, you know, I got one child, and he said, it's a miracle that God gave me that child. And said, you know, my wife was born without the ability to have children. His wife didn't have the ability. Something was up in the female organs was wrong. And doctors said there wasn't no hope. And she was crying out to God for this child. And he said, honestly, he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I was about to seem like go insane because I trying to hold the faith with her, trying to keep the right attitude, trying to do this. And finally, I was like, look, let's just go talk to the pastor again. Let's just go there for a moment. And I called him up and asked him if I could bring my wife. And it brought her over, and he went down through her life and things and began to talk to her. And he could come down to the very last moments. He said, sister, let me ask you this question. He said, what if God never gives you a child, then what? What if God never gives you a child? And maybe tonight you're not looking for a child, or you're looking for something else. But what if God never gives you that, then what? What about that? And he said she just kind of bowed her head just for a moment, and she looked down, and he said, I thought the earth was just shaking. You know, I didn't know what was about to happen. He said, all of a sudden she looked up and tears running down her eyes. She said, I would love him anyhow. No matter what his answer is, I still love him. I'll serve him. I'll love him anyhow. And just within a few months, she was expecting a child. Amen. Why? Because it wasn't about what was going to happen or not going to happen. It was something on the inside of her that anchored deep, that if God didn't answer the way I wanted, I'm going to love him anyhow. If God didn't move the way I want him to move, I'm going to love him anyhow. If God doesn't answer how I want him to answer, I'm going to serve him anyhow. And I'm not going to serve him with a sour face and a bad attitude. I'm going to serve him in faith. I'm going to serve him in love. She wasn't a hybrid. She got a hold of something. You didn't have to baby her and spray her. And now, darling, please, now let me beg you. You should just, you know, no. Everything tried to hinder this woman. He said, but a real Christian fights for his position. He has to stand alone sometimes, maybe just him and God, but he'll fight every inch of ground, but you will not have to baby him around. Come on, somebody. That's what's the matter. He said, with the Pentecostal church, we got a bunch of Pentecostal babies, just a bunch of sprinkled and sprayed with this or another till it's run out to a bunch of hybrids. What we need today is a house cleaning. He said, from the pulpit all the way to the janitor, starting over, get some genuine faith born in the people again. She wasn't a hybrid or a so-called crop of believers is today. What did she do? She admitted, you're right, I'm a dog. You're right. I'm a dog. Listen, that's the first thing. You want to get anywhere with God, admit he's right. It might burn the hide off of you, but admit his word is right. If you want something from him, admit he's right, I'm wrong. Whatever he says, I accept. And here she is, you're right, I'm a dog, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Come on, we need some crumb seekers. Amen. Let's be willing to humble ourselves and say, whatever, Lord, whatever the word's got to do, I want it. If it's got to scrape me off, I want it. If it's got to take my pride off, I want it. If it's got to take my arrogance off, I want it. Whatever I got, I want the word to have its way in my life. Faith always admits the word is right. He said, if your faith doesn't punctuate every word of God's word with amen, there's something wrong with your experience. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter if you're feeling it or not. Sometimes we ain't feeling it. I ain't felt it all day. I ain't felt it all day. I ain't felt like preaching all day. But it ain't about how I feel. Amen. I want my life to punctuate his word with an amen. Amen. I want my life. Amen. I don't want to be just serving him out of a duty to where, amen, if you're serving God out of a duty, then when things are going wrong, you can see it all over you. You can see it in your attitude. You can see it in the way you walk or talk, the way you worship or don't worship. Amen. Because you're serving God out of a duty. I don't want to serve him just out of a duty. I want to serve him because I love him. This is what he wanted all the way at the beginning. He didn't want to give the law and make it a bunch of do's and don'ts and a duty that you got to do this and a duty that you got to do that. He said, oh, that people would love me. He wants worship because you love him. He wants church because you love him. And it goes beyond your disappointments and beyond what you feel or you don't feel. I mean, the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you don't say amen to that, there's something wrong. Jesus said, the works that I do, you do also. If you don't say amen, there's something wrong. If you don't punctuate every word of God's promise with an amen, there's something wrong. She admitted, you're right. I'm nothing but a dog, but she's after a crumb. He said, wouldn't that be us? Shouldn't that be us? We have to be set up in a seat. Oh, if he don't minister me this night, I'm just going to go home. I know. That didn't make no difference to her. She was perseverant. She was determined. She was persistent. I'm getting something from the Lord. Something on the inside told her she was going to get what she wanted and go home with it. Amen. Regardless of how long she had to wait, regardless of what she had to go through, regardless of I'm not even here for a full course dinner. I'll just take a crumb. Well, listen, if a crumb can heal a girl that's grievously vexed by a devil, don't you want a crumb too? Come on, somebody. If just a little crumb of it, amen, will heal somebody, don't you want a crumb? If a little crumb will save somebody, don't we want a crumb? We want what God has for us. Brother Brown said, you know, she had actually never seen a miracle. She was a Gentile, but she had faith. She was something kind of along the lines of the harlot Rahab. When she had heard what had happened, she didn't see it, but she had heard and she believed it. Amen. That sounds like a lot like us. We may not have seen all of that take place, but we believe it anyhow. Amen. He said, wait. She didn't say, well, wait till I see how Joshua, you know, he does things and how all the generals, what kind of swords they got, what kind of instruments, what kind of warfare. She said, I have already heard that God's with you and that's good enough for me. Amen. I want mercy. She believed. Amen. This is exactly what this woman did. There was something on the inside of her. Amen. And she said, Lord, first, you know, thou son of David. And he said, well, I didn't come. That's not you. But then she said, Lord. He was her Lord. She come with the right approach. And the only way to ever, that's the only way to receive anything is come with the right approach. Humble yourself before God. Humble your pride. Humble your life. Humble your situation. And say, God, you have your way in my life. Amen. If you got a critical spirit and you want to get rid of it, do the opposite. Lord, have your way in my life. She had the right approach to God's gift, and that's the only way you'll ever receive anything. It comes with the right approach. Faith admits the word is right. Amen. Amen. Be willing to take any part. It's a direct quote. Be willing to take any part anywhere, just as long as I get there. Come on, somebody. That's the way it ought to be in the house of God. I'll take any part. I'll play any part. I'll do anything just as long as I get there. That's all that matters. Amen. It doesn't matter if I play the piano or I don't play the piano, if I sing or I don't sing. Amen. If I'm a special singer or not a special singer. Amen. As long as I'm there. Listen, that's really the goal of what we have church for, is to get there. Come on, somebody. It's not about right now or even the next 5 minutes. It's to get there. And long as we keep that in our mind, then all the other stuff we talk about and pick about and talk about, come on now. This is where Cleopas and them was. They was kind of picking apart the day. You know, downhearted, discouraged. Why were they that way? Because disappointment had come. Disappointed, discouraged, downhearted on one of the greatest days that had ever been. Huh? Think about that. That's kind of a paradox, right? Just disappointed, discouraged, downhearted on one of the greatest days that had ever been. Jesus had raised from the dead. He had conquered death, hell, and the grave, and they were disappointed. Amen. Sometimes we get so caught up in our disappointment, we fail to realize what's going on really around us. Amen. Listen, he said there were men, and he said maybe there's men and women here today that's had a lot of disappointments, but remember this, Jesus is raised from the dead. Come on now. He's still alive today, right? So keep this in mind. He's still alive today. And here they are discouraged. Going back on, well, you know, it started out all right. We thought it was going to be all right. And you know, they get all tore up. And you wonder, first you don't even get a clue of their conversation because they don't tell about all what they're saying. But when Jesus steps in, he begins to let you know they wasn't talking about things that lifted them up. They were talking about things that tore them down. Right? They were downhearted. He said, what manner of conversation? What are you talking about here that you're so sad about? It does matter what we talk about. Amen. It matters a lot what we talk about. And here they are, discouraged. But they were talking about him and they were discussing things, and they couldn't figure it out. But he said, Brother Branham said, at least they had him in their conversation. At least they were talking about Jesus. They may not have understood everything. They may not have known what was happening, but at least they were talking about Jesus. I hope that's what our conversations are about. You know, sometimes we go home, we talk about things that happened in the church. Are you talking about Jesus, or are you just talking about all the disappointments you got? Are you talking about all the things around you that don't seem right or don't seem all that? Or are you really talking? You want God to come by, start talking about him. You want him to draw near to you, start talking about him. Start dwelling on him. Start thinking about him. He said, that's the reason he doesn't appear so many to us today. Our conversations is about everything else but Christ. We're talking about when we're going to get work done or what we're going to do here. But let our conversations be about him, and then he appears, and then you can talk to him. Be speaking about him. They were going along, and yet they loved him, but they didn't know he had raised from the dead. He said, many people's like that today, too. They really love Jesus throughout all the world, have the love of the Lord, but they don't know he's raised from the dead. As they went along, a stranger said, good morning. And they all sad and broken up said, good morning. Cleopas looked back and said, oh, I loved him. I seen him stand by the grave of Lazarus, and a man had been dead 4 days, and Lazarus come forth, and how could this man ever fail like this? How could he fail and die? How could this happen? You know, I guess we're just going to go home and start up our carpeting work again. You know, and he said, Brother Bram said, isn't that a lot like modern Christian today? Let a healing take place, they're shouting the victory. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall, they're shouting the victory. Those who are really filled with the Holy Spirit remains that way down through life's journey. But the man that's still walking with the carnal mind, let a little discouragement come up, a little something go wrong. And they're like, well, I thought it was going to be okay, but look at it now. And I thought this little church wouldn't fail. And I thought that man wouldn't fail. And I thought this wasn't be like just like this. Come on. Oh, he's shouting a while ago, just a few moments ago when somebody got healed, shouting when somebody got saved. He said a Holy Ghost person, filled person will stay that way. That's what he just said. He said a Holy Ghost person will stay that way, but a man that is still walking with a carnal mind, their intellectual ability let a little discouragement come up. Well, I thought my life would be like this. And I thought surely, I thought I was going to turn out this way, and I thought I'd be married, and I thought I'd have this, and I thought I'd have that, and I thought. It ain't about what we think. It's about His plan for us. Amen. But don't let the discouragement become so big that you don't see what's going on right around you, that the resurrection is taking place. That there's a message that is coming this hour that has called you out of sin. That's the main thing. It's filled with you with the Holy Ghost. That's the main thing. It's getting you ready for a body change. That's the main thing. We get our minds on the wrong thing. Well, I thought it, you know, the church service should go like this, and I thought this should be this way, and I thought we got our minds on the wrong thing. Get it on Jesus. He's trying to do something. He's trying to reveal something. He's trying to talk to us. He said, let your conversation, listen to this, underline this, same quote, let your conversation not be about your church, but about your Lord. That's good, Brother Branham. That's really good. Let your conversation not be about your church. Let it be about the Lord. I wonder how our conversations would be if it wouldn't be so centered around what maybe not, you know, nitpicking stuff or this, that, and the other about, you know, music or ACs or, you know, sound, whatever. And we get our minds and our conversations so tore up about that stuff, and that's all we can see. Hey, but what would it be if our conversations was about the Lord? And what He's really doing in this day, and how He's moving in this hour, how He's moving in this church, how He's saving the lost, how He's healing the sick, how He's raising the dead, how He's moving and changing. And even if we ain't even see Him working, He's still working. We get our minds on the wrong things. He said, it's not about your neighbor, but it's about your Lord. Let your conversation be of Him. And as they journeyed along, why are you so sad? He said, what makes you feel this way? What a beautiful day. Could you imagine that? I mean, that would be incredible. Here Jesus steps out of the bushes, joins in on their walk. Why are you so sad? Why are you so downhearted? Why are you looking? It is a beautiful day. So beautiful. Look, hear the birds singing. Look at what's going on. Look at the sunrise. Look at what's happening around us. Well, you know, we trusted in this man named Jesus, and he seemed to be approved of God. He had great signs, and he had great wonders, and we followed him 3.5 years. But Pilate crucified him. They buried him. They put him in the grave. We had hope that he would be a great king, a great leader. Oh, now we see their hopes was in the wrong place. Hello, somebody. This is where we get our trouble. This is where we think we got faith. No, we got hope in the wrong place. They had faith he was going to be, amen. They thought they had faith he was going to be a deliverer from the Romans, but that wasn't what he came to do. There was hope in the wrong place. Come on, somebody. A lot of people get that same way. They get hope in the wrong place. Listen, my hope is not this world. My hope is not what happens in my circumstances, whether I've got something or I don't have anything. That's not my hope. My faith is in getting out of here. My faith is in a body change. My faith is in the Word of God and what He has said He's going to perform. Now he's in a grave, and they say he's raised, but we don't know. We hadn't seen his body. He said, well, don't you know the scriptures? What do? He went straight to the scriptures. See what he was trying to do? Bring their faith back to the Word. Put their hope back in the right place. He said, any true spirit of God will go straight to the scriptures. What do? He went back to the Old Testament. Went back to the books of Moses, began to speak about Moses and the different ones. And they said that Jesus would come, how he would suffer, and what he would do. He said, don't you know this, the scripture, the word? Don't you know the word that was back there has been made alive? Don't you know that the Christ that he said there he would not suffer and see his body suffer corruption? Don't you see? And he's walking him right down through the scriptures. He said, no, we didn't know that. He said, good people, loving him. But didn't know he was risen from the dead. So it is today, same thing. God, wake our most innermost being. People don't understand that he has raised from the dead. He's not dead, he's alive. That's what our thoughts ought to be on. We have a God that's alive. Come on, somebody. A God that's alive, a God that conquered death, a God that conquered the grave, a God that rose up from the grave. That's who we're worshiping here. That's why we're not concerned if this is perfect or if that is perfect or everything's in exact order. We want a God who's alive. We want a God moving among us, performing the same things he did back then. That is the focus of this church. He says, things begin to turn, and Brother Branham really hammers it down. He said, it began to turn. It was getting towards evening time. He said, do you get it? Evening time. Get it? Evening time. And he just hammers it down. And he said, he made as if he was going to go on by as they were turning into their place. He's going to go on by. And they said, oh, no. Come on in here. Talk to us some more. And they persuaded him to come inside. He said, I wonder how much persuading we do today. I wonder how much you are doing right now, he says. Right now. Oh, Lord, the resurrected one, let me persuade you to come by my heart. Come in with me. I want to believe you. I maybe have lived just a halfway life, Christian life, just by believing in a knowledge of faith or just so forth, so-called intellectual faith. But I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. For this is the only time I have to make preparation. I want to know you when I lay my head down to rise no more. I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. I don't want no guessing about it. I want to know you. The day is far spent. When they got inside, they closed the doors, and he began to talk to them. And the scripture says he took bread, and he broke it. It was something that opened their eyes, because they'd walked with him all evening and didn't know who he was. They brought him in his house, and they still didn't know who he was. But it was when he broke bread. It wasn't just the tearing of the bread. Any man could tear bread. Any man could take a knife and slice bread. Any man could do that. But that's not any man could tear off a piece of bread and there'd be another one take his place. And he'd tear off a piece of bread and there'd be another. There was only one man that could do that. Amen. And here he was. He tore off a piece of bread and their eyes came open. Oh, hallelujah. He's showing them that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that went down is the same God that came up. Hallelujah. He had the same power. He had the same abilities. He had the same anointing. He had the same word. He had the same ability to tear off that bread and there come another piece. And let me tell you tonight, he still has that ability. If you need a piece of bread tonight, he can tear it off for you and give you your own miracle. They said there was only one man on earth that could ever do that, and that's him. Just the way he'd done that. Not the way he formed his sermon. Not the way he dressed. Not the way he talked. But the way he'd done something. They knew that that was his way of doing it. Hallelujah. Their eyes were open and they knew him. They didn't know him a few hours before. They never seen it. And here their eyes was open. And all of a sudden they said, hey, we recognize this is the one. This is the one who told us. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us and he spoke with us along the way? I wonder how many services he's come, though. Come by our way. And he made as if he was to go by. And we let him. We let him. He made as if he was he wanted to come to you. He wanted to draw nigh to you. He wanted to pull himself to you. He wanted to pull you to himself. But he walks by your pew. And our thoughts are on this and disappointments and problems and situations, things we got going on tomorrow. All the stuff that's happening around us and the situation. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I don't know. And Jesus is walking right by. He's waiting for somebody to reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Oh, my. He comes by service after service. We've seen him come by service after service in these last few weeks and speak things. And the visiting minister come in and speak things. He's coming by service after service. Revit, don't you know what's happening? Don't you see what's going on? Don't you get your eyes off the disappointments. Get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes off the bombs talking and the nuclear talks. And this, that. Get your eyes off all of that. Get your eyes on me. Because I'm about to tear off a piece of bread. Let me tell you, the bread he's about to tear off. He's going to do what he did then. This body is going to change. It's going to change. He's going to tear off this old rag and a new one's going to come. Amen. A new body's going to come. Listen, he's looking for somebody that is looking for his appearing. Looking for his appearing. Not caught up in the church squabbles. Not caught up in the this, that, and the, well, that's just a click. It's just this. It's just that. That's not what this is about. It's about Jesus and him walking by. Service, reach out and touch the Lord. Dark hours come. Tragic things happen. Disappointments come. Death comes. But in the face of it all, Brother Bram said, I rest on that beautiful hope that he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. He said, I've seen disappointments. He said, I've seen the time I've asked for things. I've cried for things. I've begged for things and failed to get them. Hello? I've asked, I've cried, I've begged and failed to get them. But if I would just wait patiently upon God and know that it works exactly right, at the exact time, he does exactly the right thing. Hallelujah. That ought to give us faith right there to know. He said, when I lost my baby, my little Sharon, there was one thing that stumbled me. I said, how can that be for the good? How can it be for the good? How can this be for my good? My little baby would die. Months later, when I seen her standing there in all the beauty of a young lady speaking to me, standing by the side of that old wagon broken down, I knew if she had lived, she might have turned out wrong. Hello? She might have turned out wrong. You know, we get that sometimes. We get so sad about young men. And it is sad. I'm not saying it ain't. I mean, God help us. I know how I would feel, or I don't even want to feel that way. But you see families that lose little children. And I look at it, and then they're not serving God. Some of them atheists. Some of them this, that, and the other. And these little children die from this of disease, or die from at birth, or whatever. And I think, God, you saved that one. You saved that one. And here the prophet of God would even look at his own child and say, later, when I saw her standing there on the other side, I knew if she would have came through life, she may have turned out wrong. God knows what he's doing. He has a plan. He says, every name that the Lord has been given me is written in the palm of my hand. And nothing can take them out of my hands. Everyone that was supposed to be their redeemed sons and daughters of God, amen, that's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, will be there. There ain't enough devils in hell to keep it from happening. Not to keep one from going. He'll do what he got to do. He knows the end from the beginning. We don't. We don't know how things will work out. We don't know how things will turn out. We don't know what kind of heartaches will come that would turn somebody the wrong direction. He said, I think of my wife of 22 years. Let me go back. He said, God had to take her. He said, I knew if she had lived, she might have turned out wrong. God had to take her while she was tender and sweet. I know I'll see her again. I know I'll see her. I know it beyond any shadow of a doubt. I think of my wife of 22 years old, taken just merely a girl, a little mother. When the papers give the headline, young mother, reverend, died. Oh, how my heart bled. I didn't know what to do. But today, I know it's all working for my good. I know that life had to be ground and twisted and squeezed to get what was in it out. There was too much Branham in there. It had to be squeezed out before God can make himself known. It was too much of you and you till God has to squeeze you through disappointments and trials. And while that squeezing was coming on, it's hard. But after a while, the skies are going to clear again. Hallelujah. The skies are going to clear back and you'll see the purpose of God and you'll cry, I know my Redeemer liveth. And the last days I'll stand upon the earth. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. These little trials and things are just for a moment and they'll fade away and pass. They're only done for your good. Let's remember that so God will get the glory. So we bring this to a close. Leave you with one of my favorite quotes. Because discouragement comes in disappointments. Discouragement can set in. Through discouragement, depression. Then depression can come all kinds of things. Suicidal thoughts and spirits of every kind can attach. Getting a lot of places of discouragement sometimes because we're disappointed. And we're disappointed because our hope was in the wrong thing. But I leave you with this tonight. Don't be discouraged. We're living in a terrible hour. A terrible hour for the unbeliever. But a wonderful hour for the believer. We are near the end time, to which we're looking for the coming of our blessed Lord. That's why we're here redeeming the time, because we don't know how much time we have left. And I say, God, whatever time I got left, let me serve you with everything that I have within me. Lord, let me lay aside all my discouragement. Let me lay aside all my disappointments. Let me lay aside everything that would easily beset me. And let me run this race. Let me run with all my heart. Not looking to the right or looking to the left or looking at this situation or that around or what's going on in the church or what ain't happening in the church. Let me look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And God, if my hope is in the wrong spot, move it back to your word. Move it back to what you have for me and your plan and how you want to orchestrate your will in my life. Let's bow our hearts. I ask you to pray for me and Sister Ruth. We're leaving in the morning, traveling to New Brunswick, be gone this weekend. Into next week. 3 services this weekend and a meeting. So ask the Lord to have his way to minister to hearts and his name be magnified. It's really been on my burden to me, on me about these meetings. It's asking the Lord to move. So I know it's comforting to know I have a church praying for me. I have believers surrounded me in prayer. But I wonder tonight how many just want to just say, Lord, the word's right. The word's right. Been focused on the disappointment. Been focused on the wrong thing. But Lord, my hope's been in the wrong spots. Lord, I know all these things are working for my good. Even though I may not can see it right now, I know it's for my good. I may not have an answer. I don't know. Maybe right now as we think on these things, you kind of feel like you've been brought into a spot. You just feel the Lord walking by. Won't you just invite him just to come in for a moment? Break some bread for you. Lord, I need a little nourishment. I need a little strength. I need you, Lord, just to come by my way. Would you invite him to your pew right now? Lord, come speak to me right now and just hold me for a moment. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Been through a lot of disappointments, Brother Timothy. A lot of things I've deal with that I don't know the answers. Well, you don't have to tell me about it. Tell God about it. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I maybe been looking for the wrong things for my happiness. Been looking for the wrong thing for my joy and what I think ought to bring satisfaction. But Lord, I want to find joy in you tonight. Happiness and satisfaction in you. Grant it, Father. Lord Jesus, a little simple thought tonight, Lord, you've had on my heart for a little while. And just not knowing how things would go, what would happen. But Lord, we just leave it to you, Lord, to deal with hearts. And to the individual to invite you into their little room, Lord, in their heart. Maybe they just need to open up another door. Let you in there for a moment. And Lord, just feel the squeeze of your spirit around their heart, Lord, as they find comfort in your word and you, Lord, and say, Father, you're right. Your way is right, Lord. Your will is right, Lord. No matter what, Lord, I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to praise you. I want to thank you in the middle of my storm. I'm going to just give you all the glory and honor that bestowed you, Lord, that can bestow upon you. For the Father, you've been there for me every step of the way. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for dwelling on our disappointments in life, disappointments of others or disappointments in our church or disappointments in men, ministry. Lord, it's not all about that. It's all about you. Move, Father, I pray in every heart. We love you today with everything that's in us. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Brother Andrew.
Your eyes upon Jesus.
Upon Jesus.
Look for.
Yes, Lord.
In his wonder.
His wonderful way.
And all.
Give life.
As we go, if you want to stay and praise the Lord, worship, you're welcome to. If you want to pray, amen, just go reverently, thinking on these things, amen. I believe it's important that we continue to ask Him to come by our way each and every day. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name, Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong in my Savior's love, hold through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Oh, Christ alone, yes, Christ alone. Oh,
Sing it again, Christ alone. Yes, Christ alone. The cornerstone. Oh, weak made strong. In my Savior's love. Oh, through the storm. He is Lord. Oh, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed tonight. My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Oh, Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, in my Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Oh, my anchor holds within the veil. He's Christ alone. He's my cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love.